And good afternoon. You're listening to Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's jazz station. We just cut loose with Beams of Light, Climate Change, Brady Speller, producer, consumer, great percussionist, programmer, and we have an opportunity to speak to him in the studio. I'd like to welcome you, Brady. How you doing, man?
Jay, thanks, man. What a pleasure to be here.
Speak up to the, come up to the mic, man.
Oh, okay.
How's that? That's good, man. Yeah. You know, this you're one of the few percussionists that I would say that has had to work for everything you've got.
Literally, yeah.
Literally, you know. And what has been your greatest inspiration? You come out of Antioch College, and you've had some great mentors. Let's start from the beginning. When you took that, took your dean of students.
Oh yeah, drums. Right. You know, when you go to school, you know, you do everything with your mind. You know, you're really studying. And I didn't have any arts or any craft at that time. This was like 1970, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm doing everything with my head, but I have no craft with my hands. So, you know, I went to the dean of students, a guy by the name of Chuck Smart, and I'll never forget him, out of Toledo, Ohio. And he had some conga drums at his apartment. Mm-hmm. So I asked him to let me borrow one. I took it to my dorm room, and I was slapping those skins, man. And I was just, like, paying attention to the guys that would come out on the campus every Sunday and drum all day long. So that was the original inspiration for wanting to do something with my hands instead of everything with my head. And, boy, once I started playing, the next thing I know, like, this bug bites you. And it's one of those kinds of the thing that gets in your blood and it just stays there.
You have a virus, better known as music.
I have the music virus.
The music virus.
Absolutely.
Better known as music. You know, this release, you know, you gave it to me a couple of months ago, and I had to admit that I was really, really, you took it to the next level in fusion, but you're able to program so many different aspects of the music to get people's attention. What inspired you to do Beams of Light?
Wow. Okay, so you really want me to tell that story on the air?
Well, I want you to tell a great version of the story.
Well, here's the truth, okay? Here's the truth. In 1971, 72, 73, Cecil Taylor came to Antioch College. Cecil, if for those you don't know, you might want to Google him and look him up. He was one of the leaders in the avant-garde jazz era. Cecil is a pianist. He's recorded, you know, 30 or 40, 50 albums during the course of his lifetime, but he's produced a ton of music. I got the opportunity to sit at this master's feet for 2 years straight while I was at Antioch College. And what wound up happening is, from Cecil's music was very avant-garde,
right.
Way out in the cosmos.
Out the box.
Out the box, okay?
The box.
You start out the box, you stay out the box, and you keep going on into eternity out the box with Cecil's music.
Right.
That's how I got started.
Okay? Out the box.
Out the box, okay? And it wasn't too long after I got out the box that, you know, music is a code. And once you learn music, once you understand, and I'm not necessarily talking about written music, I'm talking about the hearing of it. Mm-hmm. There are patterns that get played. There are notes that get played. There are chords that get played. And sometimes the way you assemble them can make a certain statement, and it cracks open the doors of the universe. And you think I'm crazy, but trust me when I tell you,
I'm there with you.
Okay? I heard Cecil, when I was playing with Cecil, I heard him play certain patterns. Like that. Well, you know, a year into playing with Cecil, I buy Weather Report's album, Vertical Invader. It was the I Sing the Body Electric, and this was in the summer of 1972. I'll never forget as long as I live. I picked up that album. I picked up Herbie Hancock's album. I picked up James Brown and a couple others.
Beginning
of the fusion era. These guys were just, Miles was just coming out of Bitches Brew,
right.
In 68, 69, right? So his next few albums from that was experimental. He had Joe Zawinul. He had Wayne Shorter. He had Herbie Hancock. He had all those guys with him. Chick Corea was going through the school. So what wound up happening, I started tuning into that music in the early 70s. Listening to Train, listening to all the old Miles Bebop. But when Miles hit the electric note, that was it for me. It was revolutionary. And so I said to myself a long time ago, I don't want to play traditional stuff. Everybody's done that already. What I want to do, what inspires me, is to push the envelope into music. And that's what I grew up in. I came up with Cecil. Cecil was the envelope. And then you had guys like Herbie Hancock, who I met in 1973. After I started playing with Weather Report in 73. So
you played with Weather Report as a percussionist.
I played with Weather Report as a percussionist, and there's a great story there. So what is?
So you knew Joe Zawinul personally?
Yes, sir.
Late great Joe Zawinul.
The late great Joe Zawinul, man, from Austria.
And late great Cecil Taylor just passed away
about 3 weeks ago. No, y'all. My mentor, he lived to be 89 years old. And the one thing that he always taught me about music is that you never stop pushing the envelope, never succumb to the norm or to the box. No matter how much they try to put you in a box, you stay outside the box, because that's where the creativity is.
I live outside the box, man. Yeah. I've been criticized for that,
too. You've been criticized for living. I have, too. Trust me.
I live outside. I throw stuff in the box.
So what inspired Beams of Light, to answer your question, Jay, is the cosmic stuff that happened between me and Cecil and me and Miles, okay? This is a 40-year secret that I've kind of held there, because when you tell people stuff like this, first of all, they're not going to believe you. Second of all, they're going to think you're crazy, okay? But when you work with artists like that, you have tapped into an aspect of the universe that most people are not aware of what's around them, okay? They say there's a spirit world that's out there. Well, it runs above us and around us and in us. We got that. But when you start experiencing certain cosmic things like beams of light coming between you and a mentor, natural beam of light, while he's performing at Carnegie Hall for Newport News, I'm standing behind him and this phenomenon happens. I clocked it. I didn't pay too much attention to it. I just thought it was weird, and I wasn't high. I wasn't drunk. It was just one of those things. Fast forward 3 months later, I meet Miles. The exact same phenomenon happened between Miles and I during a concert that he was playing at the Philadelphia Spectrum. A beam of light came between me and Miles, to the point where Miles stopped playing on stage. He had M2Me and all those guys on stage with him. He felt this thing hit him. He turned around, and I'm on row 19 in the Philadelphia Spectrum, and Miles stared me down. We looked at each other for about a minute. He went back to playing. He stopped again. And this light beam was between us. So this is the thing that inspired me. There's nothing, you know, nothing abnormal, except for the fact that when you're in the world of music, you can expect pretty much anything to happen.
And that's why you named it Beams of Light.
That's why I named it Beams of Light.
Climate change is very relevant in this day and age for obvious reasons. Why climate change?
I had the name climate change before people started talking about climate change. Let me tell you what inspired that. Coming out of Weather Report, when that band disbanded, I think it was 1985 was the last time that Wayne and Joe had performed together. And I had played with them like in the early 70s, right around albums number 3 and number 4, okay? So what wound up happening is I've still been influenced by Wayne and Joe and Herbie. And I believe that climate change is the extension of Weather Report in the 21st century. The sound that I'm going for is a sound that takes what those gentlemen did, what those masters did, bring it into the 21st century with new equipment. I love electronic gear. For all you enthusiasts who just think acoustic music is all there is, open up your expansion notes and check it out. The electronic world is deep. And so what I've grown up with it. I sing the Body Electric Weather Report.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because when Miles Davis went electric, there was a great revolution against him.
Yep.
And also, the people who love acoustic music feel that you shouldn't take the instrument beyond its range. I disagree with that to some extent.
I do too.
We're in an era in which technology is master. Okay, then. So you have to learn technology no matter what.
It
has permeated every facet of society.
Correct.
Music especially, because you've got electronic music where there's no acoustics at all, you know.
That's right.
You also program. How did you get into programming?
Wow. Well, you know what? Since I'm a percussionist, I play congas, percussion, drums. So I was hoping way back in the early 80s, with all of the work that was being done with the Moog synthesizer, remember the harp and the Moog, and all the other synthesizers began to come along, but there was nothing for percussion. And then Roland, right, in the early mid 1990s.
Even with the drumming that came out, there was
even
nothing
with the drumming that came out, man. That's right. No? That's right. Well, there was an octopad that came out a long time ago. Even before then, this instrument called the cinere, but it still wasn't fully developed.
Oh, okay.
It still was not fully developed. Right?
Okay, then.
Yeah, I've been watching this technology now, and I've been in IT, as you know. That's how I earn my living. I do consulting. And that's what takes care of the bills every day. But at the end of the day, the technology does allow you the opportunity and the capacity to be creative beyond what you would normally be able to do with your single instrument. That's when Miles mic'd up his trumpet.
His trumpet,
and
right.
And he put the wah-wah pedal on it.
Put the wah-wah pedal on it.
Exactly. He was searching for...
Well, then Electric Eddie Harris did the same thing.
Eddie Harris and what's his name? Got to Make It Real compared to what?
Oh, yeah.
Les McCann.
Les McCann,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They transitioned. But the thing about it is the young people that come up now, their ears are geared more toward that type of technology.
That's right.
Versus we came up in an acoustic area and had to transcend.
That's right.
Into the technology.
That's right.
If you so chose to, you know, I still say mm-hmm. it takes beyond the range of the instrument. But I think that if we move back to LPs, you can hear to the last note versus CDs and MP3s.
There's a warmth to vinyl.
Right.
The Europeans, I mean, I've traveled all over Europe now performing with another band that I work with called the Pyramids, and that group goes back almost 40 years.
Right.
But at the end of the day, what I'm searching for is the perfect blend between the two worlds, the electric world and the acoustic world. I am a conga player. I'm a percussionist, so naturally everything I do is on an acoustic level. However, I got into rhythm programming by way of being able to get to a set of Pro Tools and Complete 10, for example, and then being able to develop my rhythm patterns, the stuff that I have in my head that I would have to lay like 10 tracks down on for congas. I could get a lot of that stuff just program it and put it into a rhythm pattern. That's how I began most of my songs. Rhythm programming. The songs that you hear on Climate Change.
On Climate
at
Change.
At least four or five of them are rhythm programmed by me.
In the background, we were playing Serio.
Right.
Serio, and we started off with Joe Zob. Interesting enough, one of the things that I liked about this particular release is that it was very current.
Yes.
Very current. It can fit in, you know. And the thing about it is, in this day and age, I think you need to know acoustic music as well as technology.
Absolutely.
To understand how it evolves.
That's right. It's called digital analog.
Digital analog. That's a nice way of putting it.
it's bringing digital technology to analog ear.
To the analog ear.
Right.
Interesting enough, you know, because they now you can take an LP and transfer it on a box and turn everything into a CD, da-da-da-da-da, your digital analog transparent. But the thing with the things that you do in terms of this particular release, you know, yeah. I'm very interested in terms of the personnel and why you hired certain personnel to enhance what you did. I mean, you have some great people on here, but you also name everyone that you brought into
on this particular project. Walter Bland and I have been looking to put this thing together for a few years, since I think about 2009.
Right.
But I traveled quite a bit. And I was in and out of the country, never really had a chance to sit down. So we talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. And I got tired of talking. And I said, let's do something about it. And so, you know, last year I put it all together, brought the players together. And interestingly enough, God will give you the people that you really need at the time that you need them. And so when Walter was already on the scene, he wrote most of the music on the album, except for four songs that I wrote and then one or two that we both co-wrote. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But what wound up happening is Larry Jackson knew Walter Bland, okay? Joe Salter, the drummer, I knew Joe from the first night I ever played with Herbie in New York back in 1973. And Joel Powell, I was introduced to Joel Powell by Joe Salter and Walter Bland. Larry Jackson came in. And then I used to play also jam with a band called the Chinese Fire Drill here local. We did charity stuff. That's all we did. And Derek Ferwerda, I met him through his brother-in-law, Bob Howard, Bob and Pam Howard. And then Marissa Licata got introduced to me through Bob Howard.
Marissa plays violin.
Marissa is a violin. Man, let me tell you, she is.
You have acoustic as well as electronic here.
That's right. That's right. Acoustic, yeah.
So you know how to merge both of them.
Yeah, I mean, we know how to play with both of them. We have to.
You have to. You know, this rhythm programming, you know, it's very interesting. What does your future look like, not only in terms of performance, but producing more music?
Film, television, hopefully be able to perform overseas and here, open up the United States market. But that's the live stuff. But also the digital stuff, I want to be able to get into, you know, the television programs and background. I'm not particularly interested in jingles, but if they want to use it for jingles, fine. But like one of my several of my pieces are almost cinematic, and if you listen to some of the designs and the sound, especially with the oohs and the ahs of the vocals and the strings and whatnot. So I'm interested in being able to expand my repertoire in the digital world and be able to drop stuff pretty much anywhere on YouTube, or whether it's on all of the other digital store platforms, and also get stuff licensed out.
And digital platforms are very important today, but I also, you know, people cannot forget about broadcast platforms. Broadcast right. platforms still reach a lot of people that not necessarily totally digital.
That's right.
You know.
That's and, right. And, radio's and, still here. Still
radio. Well, you have terrestrial radio, satellite radio, and right. internet radio. Mm-hmm. And we at WCLK, we are obviously terrestrial and internet radio. But that's the way a lot of times we reach a lot of public, in terms of bringing them not only brand new music, but the oldies but goodies that remind me of a lot of great things when I was young. You know, one of the things I like about you is the fact that you come from an environment like I do within New York, where you had everything.
Yes.
You had everything. What were your major influences in music?
Okay, so, you know, Cecil Taylor, for sure.
Musically, Miles, though, genre-wise.
Oh, well, still pretty much the jazz. I mean, from Duke Ellington till today, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, I've studied it all. I've listened to it all. I even listen to classical music.
Yeah, so do I. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you have to have a broad, you know, you can't just say only listen to country music, you know, because that's all I like. Well, I love R&B. I love jazz. I love rap. I love gospel. I love Christian music. I love all music. So the bottom line is that influences what I do. And because as a percussionist, you're limited in some ways to what you can actually put out there as far as rhythms go. But when you have ideas inside your head, the music that's in your head is the stuff that God allows me to get it out, to get it onto a keyboard, somehow I come up with a fundamental idea, and then bring the rest of the people in. And it's from all those experiences out of New York, Los Angeles, Texas, and Atlanta, Georgia.
So in the future, I can expect you to not only produce more great music, but I can have a list of albums that I can, or CDs, or MP3s, that we can, when we interview you the next time, that you will have a catalog waiting for me.
I will have a catalog waiting for you, bro.
Yeah, okay. Right.
What I want to mention, too, I know we're going to be running short on time. Are we okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate what guys like you and others are doing, Jay. The mere fact that you're still pushing the music and making sure that people understand that there's a history, there's a thread. It's not just what's happening today, but it's what happened 50 years ago.
Yes.
It's what happened 75 years ago that led the way to where we are today. And what we do today, the young people, the next generation, be able to stand on those shoulders.
You know, I want to thank you so much for gracing the audience of WCLK. Because you're hard to catch. It's like catching a lightning bolt. But nevertheless, I corralled you in here. And one of the things I just want to thank you so much, though, because you've put out not only a good project, ladies and gentlemen. This is Brady Speller, Climate Change, from his release Beams of Light, a fusion with acoustics, as far as I can see in there, because you got that saxophone in there and the violin. It makes a major difference that we can bridge gaps, man, you know. And thanks. Absolutely. Any final words, my brother?
Yeah, I'll be performing tonight down in Alpharetta at the Velvet Note with the band Climate Change. Please come out and support us. We got 2 shows, 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock. I want to give a shout-out to my wife, Stacy, to all my friends, Tawana, and all my boys from Roosevelt, Dr. J, Kay Saunders, Mel, my brother Mel Speller, who will be performing with me tonight, and so many others, man, that have been friends throughout the years, that have allowed me to be me and that support me as being me, but at the same time, loving the stuff that I'm doing. So I appreciate it. I thank God Almighty for the gift of life and the gift of music.
I thank you so much, Brady, for coming here and gracing the audience once again. I look forward to seeing you perform right here at Jazz 91.9 WCLK. Brady Speller, Climate Change, his new release, Beams of Light.